To my mind, there aren't many more wonderful scenes or remarkable moments recorded in Scripture than this one before us today. It is full of joy, of giving honor, of giving praise, and marking the most important fulfillment of God's purpose, his loving salvation plan for humankind through the gift of his promised child. On the one hand, it's an account that speaks of the big, eternal plan that God has for the world. While on the other, it is intensely personal on a small-scale scene with two individuals, Simeon and Anna, in the twilight years of their lives, who are given the greatest of privileges. And it is our privilege to read it, to eavesdrop, and to take fresh understanding from this glorious scene, a scene of our God and of his gracious, loving plan promised long ago of rescue and sacrifice. First, Mary and Joseph were doing the right thing, doing the right thing. Any responsible parent wants to do the right thing for a new baby. But Mary and Joseph are exemplary. They want to honor God's guidelines and commands. For this reason, Jesus is circumcised on the eighth day, just as Genesis 17 and Leviticus 12 command. And so we see that the author of the new covenant was himself marked with a sign of the old covenant. The boy is given the name Jesus, verse 21. Both Mary in Luke chapter 1 and Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 had been told separately by an angel to call the boy child Jesus. And in obedience to their God, they do just that. He was named Jesus. The next task to fulfill was to present Jesus to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem in accordance with God's command in Exodus 13 and verse 2. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. And so, according to the custom of the times, about 6 weeks after Jesus' birth, Mary and Joseph head off to Jerusalem. They think they're going to the city unknown, unnoticed, but there are people waiting for them. And one of them was Simeon. Let's look at Simeon. Described in verse 25 as righteous and devout. Simeon lived in Jerusalem, and though it seems he probably went to the temple on a regular basis, he was a layman rather than a priest. Simeon was a man with a real heart for the things of God. We're told he was spirit-filled and spirit-led. We're told in verse 25 that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This was, in fact, a reference to the deliverance of Israel by the Messiah, the servant of God who would deliver his people from their sins, just as the prophet Isaiah had foretold. Simeon was nearing the end of his earthly life, and although time was not on his side, verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. I think that got him up in the morning, don't you? And sure enough, one day, the very day Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to Jerusalem for his presentation and dedication, Simeon, on that very day, is prompted by the Holy Spirit to head for the temple courts. And so it is Simeon who is there, waiting when Joseph and Mary arrive to present Jesus before the Lord. This is God's man to receive God's promised child. Verse 28, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. What a moment. What a moment for Simeon. And what a profound and prophetic message he proclaimed. I don't think there's probably one person in this room who doesn't enjoy holding a newborn in their arms. It could be your own child. It could be a grandchild. It could be a friend, a sibling's child, a neighbor's child. There's something about it. It's just pretty special, and it's an honor to be allowed to hold. I remember my sister with her firstborn, Christopher, and I was 18. Not even that. You know, being offered, you be careful, Michael. You know, he's a little thing. You just be very, and I was really told, you know, because it is an honor to be able to hold. Simeon was holding the Son of God. How big is that? That's something, isn't it? What a moment for him. What a profound and prophetic message he proclaimed. He knew instantly the identity of this little boy whom he was holding in his arms. No doubt he was also overwhelmed by the fact that the sovereign Lord was true to his promise and that he, Simeon, a humble, ordinary, but faithful believer in the God of Israel, was not only able to see the Lord's Messiah, but actually hold him in his arms. What a privilege. He says contentedly, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. It doesn't get better than this, Lord. I'm ready to go home to glory with you. Simeon knew that God's great plan and purpose was going to be fulfilled through the very child he had held in his arms. Of course, the coming of Jesus shouldn't have been a surprise to the people of Israel. Do you remember the risen Jesus having that Bible study with Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus on that first Easter day? Luke tells us in Luke 24 that he had a little Bible study with them. We're told, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, concerning himself. Those Old Testament scriptures that Israel had and read every Saturday, every Sabbath day in the synagogue, told them Jesus was coming. He was the promised child. In fact, one of those scriptures is quoted by Simeon in his song of praise. It's from Isaiah 49, one of the four servant songs which prophesy the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 49:6 says of him, I will make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The child that Simeon holds in his arms will be a light bringing revelation to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish peoples of the world. What has been hidden will be revealed. What has been a secret will be disclosed. What has seemed a mystery will be unraveled. We live in remarkable times, don't we? When the gospel is spreading across our world and to people of every nation and tribe and tongue. And some, as we discovered recently, when we heard the story in the men's event at the Hamer's house, that's a busy place at the moment, heard the story of Jeremiah Paul, who I know quite well. And Jeremiah told his story. And the story was a strong, devout Muslim who came from Pakistan to study engineering at Monash, He was with a pal, also a Muslim, devout, like him. And they were just doing a tourist trip around Melbourne because they had a few weeks to kill before they started their studies. And his friend said, oh, look at that. What's that? That looks like one of those big Christian buildings. I think it's a cathedral. So they went inside, had a look, just a historic building. They went inside, and Jeremiah met one of the staff there, Richard Trist, who's also a staff member at Ridley College and Dean of Studies, or was. And they get talking, and they have a coffee. And then the following week, they have another coffee. And then the following week, they have another coffee. Richard Trist and others help bring Jeremiah to Jesus. Jeremiah is now a vicar in an Anglican church in Dandenong. Who says God is not at work in our world? Simeon's wonder and delight at seeing Jesus touched Mary and Joseph deeply. Verse 33, they marveled at what was said about him. And so they might. They were completely overwhelmed. Simeon blesses them as a family, and then, just having delivered his joyous hymn of praise, he has a prophetic word of warning for Mary. What a thing for him to say. What a thing for her to hear. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's a clear warning, isn't it? That Jesus will bring division. He will fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 8:14, which says, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. That's a prophecy that Peter uses of Jesus in his first letter. Many in Israel will encounter Jesus but will not believe his claims or obey his teaching. And so they will fall. Others will believe in him, obey his teaching, and serve him. Simeon said such people will rise. Peter says of them, to you who believe, this stone is precious. Isn't that our experience? To us, Jesus is precious. People's attitude to Jesus will be the litmus test of their attitude to God, both then and now. You can't believe in God without acknowledging the lordship of Jesus. The religious hierarchy of Jesus' day, who were outraged by his healings on the Sabbath, disbelieving of his claims, and who plotted his betrayal and death, verse 34, spoke against the very Son of God. Their rejection of Jesus revealed far more about their true spiritual state than they ever realized. As Simeon himself declared, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Nicodemus is a memorable exception. For Mary, this fierce rejection of her son will pierce her own soul too, as she's been warned in verse 35. How prophetic were Simeon's words for Mary, for she would see her son hang from a cross on that first Good Friday. But on this day in the temple, 30 years earlier, when the baby Jesus was presented, the harrowing scene of that Good Friday wasn't to be the central focus for Mary and Joseph. Yes, there is a clear warning of division and heartache to come. But supremely, the coming of Jesus was and is the cause for the greatest and most heartfelt joy and praise. And it's that praise and thankfulness that the second welcomer in the temple, Anna, cannot help but declare, before Mary and Joseph and all who would listen to her. And so to Anna. Anna was a prophetess, an elderly woman and a widow of many decades. She barely left the temple except to sleep, worshipping there night and day, fasting and praying. She walked closely with her God. Unlike her ancestors in her own tribe of Asher, who had famously rejected God's command on entering Canaan in Judges chapter 1. Surely such a disobedient people would be lost forever, the people of Asher. And yet here is one of their own welcoming the Messiah into God's temple, Anna of the tribe of Asher. What a God of grace we serve, isn't he? What a God of mercy. She may be of the tribe of Asher. I know what Asher did. I've got a memory. But I'm a God of grace and mercy and love. Anna comes up to Mary and Joseph full of thankfulness to God. They'd never met her. I mean, how are you when, you know, especially if you've got a little one, a new babe, and people come up, real strangers, like on the street, it can be slightly confronting. I mean, it's nice, but you just don't know what's going on. I think Mary and Joseph knew, well, they were in the temple, that this lady was a bit special. Someone they should welcome to hear from. Anna comes and she speaks about this child, Jesus, verse 38, to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Israel. You've got to say that Anna was the very first evangelist for Jesus. Anna, the lady in her 80s, what a woman. Jerusalem, the capital city, often stood for the nation of Israel. And the Old Testament spoke of a redeemer, a rescuer for Israel. And just like Simeon, Anna knew that this child, barely more than 5 weeks old, was him. This is that redeemer and rescuer. So Mary and Joseph leave the temple, no doubt their heads spinning, and return to Galilee. It was there in Nazareth that this very special boy would grow up, not only in strength and stature, but in the wisdom and grace of God. His was a unique and special destiny. In fact, so unique and so special that we're gathered here today to worship him, to give thanks that he came as the Redeemer, that he died for our sins and rose again for us and now reigns in heaven at the Father's right hand, the mission of the promised Son accomplished. Like Simeon and Anna before us, our response to Jesus must be one of thankfulness and praise, mustn't it? Of wonder and awe. These are qualities that are truly appropriate for a people of God who are entering upon a new year of serving him. Praise, worship, thankfulness. Finally, when Simeon and Anna saw Jesus in the temple that day, their eyes were opened to his true identity. The promised child was revealed to them. In 2023, may we experience the joy of seeing family members, friends, work colleagues, neighbors, fellow students and others recognize the true identity of Jesus. Alpha might help, mightn't it? Let's determine to be people of faithful prayer in the coming year, asking God to reveal himself to those God has placed on our hearts. And on a wider scale, may God open the eyes of all those attending beach mission events this summer If you were here for an SS6 recently, this stage was packed with people, young people and older people, going on beach missions all across Victoria. Wonderful. May God open the eyes of people who hear those folk on those beach missions. May he work in our nation and in our world. May he work in Timor-Leste among the people there, in Groote Eylandt and beyond, so that many across our globe will say as Simeon did as he held Jesus in his arms, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Amen.